Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, is pharmakia the driving force behind these horrific school shootings with detached, expressionless teenage shooters? In your King James Bible, we find a word in the Greek, pharmakia, that is translated as sorcery, witchcraft, and the word from which we get pharmacy, pertaining to prescribed medicine from a doctor or a druggist. In our day, drug companies produce products with horrific side effects, and these drugs are indiscriminately given to millions of children daily. Is this the real cause behind the school shootings perpetrated by teenage gunmen with blank stares and eerie detachment? Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries, there's your word pharmakia, nor of their fornication nor of their thefts. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are looking at how modern-day pharmaceutical concoctions have been the trigger for some of the most unbelievable level of human violence that you could imagine. Did you know that Adolf Hitler was a drug addict who shot up daily and ordered that the entire Nazi military take crystal meth on a daily basis? It went by the brand name of Pervitin and was even put into chocolates and given to the soldiers' wives. I worked for a few years as a school teacher and was eyewitness to seeing how students became like zombies when they were prescribed things like Ritalin and Prozac. Drug abuse is perhaps the most serious problem affecting America today. It is absolutely a spiritual issue, and it plays a huge part in the ongoing school shootings. Today in the podcast, we look to the Bible for answers that the media doesn't even know the questions to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. Lord, we pray today for Annetta. We pray, Lord, that you would get her out of that hospital bed and heal her from her stroke and give her strength on the left side of her body, restore her speech, and keep her blood pressure down, Lord. We pray for John Henry, who needs our healing. We also pray for Bonnie Chadwell's cousin Doug and for Gia Camino as they go through their various treatments for what they're dealing with. We pray for Jay from Wisconsin and her husband Bob. He needs a touch from the Lord. Chelsea is planning to go to Europe with her children in June. She needs prayers that a new passport she had to apply for would get mailed to her on time. Also, prayers for protection and for traveling mercies. Father God, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord, we just come before you. We ask you to work and move and lead and guide as only you can. And we commit this time to you, Lord, for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We had another school shooting. And horrific. 19 students were shot. 2 teachers were shot. And then the husband of one of the teachers who was shot died a day or two later. They say that he died of a broken heart. So that's 22 people that were killed as a result of this school shooter. Now, we're talking today about a very serious topic. And it's a topic that takes a certain level of spiritual maturity. We're not talking about conspiracy theory today. We're talking about teenage children, and there is something that is driving them to do unimaginably wicked things. horrific, despicable, depraved. It's mind-numbing. I just run out of adjectives. And there is something that is compelling these students to do it. It is a spirit, I believe. It's a spirit. I went to high school in the 1970s. I graduated in 1979. I went to a private Catholic high school. And would you believe me if I told you that there were more drugs going through that school among the students than you could possibly ever begin to comprehend? And I had friends who went to the local public high schools. And the availability of drugs, hard drugs, LSD, crystal meth, speed, you name it. And you could find it in my Catholic high school. And ever since the early 1960s, on June 25th of 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that prayer to God in the public school was unconstitutional. And on June 25th of 1962, God was invited to get out of America's public schools. About a decade later, you would have Roe versus Wade. And that legalized the institutional assembly line torture and murder of unborn babies, that in our day, it's about 3,200 souls per day that get put through the slaughter machine to Molech. So what am I saying? I'm saying that from 1962 to the present day, with each passing year, with each passing decade, America has gotten more and more depraved in a culture of violence and video games, TikTok and social media. Social media has taken this to a absolutely unbelievable level. And you have people who are committing suicide. You have teenagers who are committing suicide based on comments that people leave for them on their TikTok. Can you imagine the type of war that must be going on in somebody's mind and in somebody's soul that they would be willing to commit suicide based on comments that somebody posted on their social media channel? But this is the world that we live in. So on one hand, you say to yourself, I cannot imagine what would drive these school shootings. But from the way that I look at it, I can't imagine that there's not 10 times the amount of school shootings that we have right now. Because we have a culture of violence. We have a culture that glorifies the superficial. We have a culture that doesn't want God to be any part of it. So we have a school system that in 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that school-sponsored prayer to God in the classroom was no longer allowed, and they declared it to be unconstitutional. Now, I'm not evangelical. I'm not a charismatic or a Pentecostal. I do not align myself with Doug Coe from the family and the religious right. I am a Bible believer. I'm not even a Protestant. I am a King James Bible believer. So I'm not going to make more of the June 25th, 1962 Supreme Court decision. I'm not going to make more of that than needs to be. But I'm just showing you that on a timeline, things began to go downhill pretty fast after 1962. Within just a couple of years, you would have the hippie movement and the free love movement and STDs, they began to skyrocket. Drug use began to skyrocket. There's something called the 27 Club. Famous rock stars who died at the age of 27, like, Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison from The Doors and for many decades, it was considered that if you were into rock and roll, you were going to die young. You were going to burn out really, really fast. And why? Because you were living a lifestyle that glorified Satan, and it destroyed you from the inside out. Jim Morrison died in a bathtub with a hypodermic needle sticking out of his arm. Janis Joplin and Mama Cass, they all died from drug overdoses. And I can remember as a teenager in the 1970s, and the drug culture was absolutely everywhere. My parents were oblivious to it. Everybody's parents were oblivious to it because they couldn't imagine what was really going on and what was really happening. And I can remember the drug culture of the 1970s and the 1980s. And I didn't get involved in the drug culture, but I got involved in the alcohol part of it. And so all through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you had drugs everywhere you look. And it began to change the thinking of people. It began to change us as a society. You remember in the 1980s with crack and all the people that wound up in jail and all the people that died from crack overdoses? Well, you go from crack to fentanyl to crystal meth. They're really just variations of the same thing. And they accomplish the same purpose, which is to destroy the lives of everybody that it touches. And so for the last 50 years in America, we have been creating a culture that glorifies the devil, that kicks God out of the public schools, that kicks the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. And then when you get into the 1990s, you have legal drugs that are now being given to children. Drugs like Ritalin and Prozac. I can remember working as a school teacher in 1995 and 1996. And I worked in a school up in New Jersey that was exclusively for children with ADD and ADHD and perceptual impairments. And I would watch every single morning as these kids were given their medication. And it would turn them into zombies. And there would be unbelievable discipline problems. And so when you take a culture that has recreational drugs, and then you add to that legalized prescribed drugs, and then you begin to mix all those things together, you have something that is so demonic and something that is operating on a spiritual level. And so if you want to understand today why we have all these school shootings and why they seem to be taking place mostly in the United States, let me remind you that the United States is different from every other nation. The United States was founded with the King James Bible, the first textbook in Yale and Harvard and Princeton was the King James Bible. The King James Bible was the Bible of the Revolution. And God uniquely blessed the United States of America for a long time because we gave God the preeminence. Now, I'm not saying that America is a Christian nation. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that America was founded on Christian principles from the Bible. And even the people like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, who were not what I would call a Christian, they had no testimony of being born again, yet they wrote documents that were very, very much in line with the King James Bible. So, America was never a Christian nation, but we were a nation that was founded on Christian principles, and we gave God the glory for a long time, and then we didn't. And then we kicked him out of the schools, and then we kicked him out of the courtrooms. And then God began to look at the United States of America as a nation that he had blessed abundantly, a nation that has now turned their back on him. So I believe that God began to remove his protective hand. Gradually, you know, when the Holy Spirit left Saul, the Bible says that he wist not that the Holy Spirit had departed from him. King Saul didn't know that he lost his power. But he lost it and he wound up committing suicide. So if you want to have a rational, intelligent discussion on why we have so many school shootings, you've got to look at it as a spiritual problem. I can guarantee you, you can pass all the gun laws that you want to pass, and you're not going to stop school shootings. You're never going to stop the school shootings by getting rid of the guns. Remember about 100 years ago, the United States, I think in 1913, they passed a law called Prohibition. And it made the production and the sale of alcoholic beverages illegal. Did that stop people from drinking? No. In fact, Prohibition made it possible that the only people now who could sell the alcohol was the mafia. And the reason why the mafia got so powerful in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s was because of the empires that they started during Prohibition. Prohibition did not stop people from drinking alcohol. It did not stop people from selling alcohol. Getting rid of guns will never, ever stop gun violence. Because the gun is not the problem. The shooter is the problem. Do you know that every day in the United States of America, over 450 people are killed in alcohol-related car crashes? Now, it's heartbreaking, those 22 people that died in Uvalde, Texas. And before this program is over today, we are going to pray that God would comfort those people who lost loved ones in the school shooting this week. But you are never, ever going to stop school shooters or gun violence or anything of that nature until you address the actual problem. And the actual problem is a spiritual problem. And the word today that we're looking at is the Greek word pharmakia, which means magic, witchcraft, sorcery, and prescription drugs. And today, I want to focus on prescription drugs. I went to Jason A's YouTube channel. Let's set the tone for this. Let's listen to a mashup of headlines from the past 72 hours. Take a listen to this.
Well, there has been another mass murder, as you know, at a school in Texas where the uniquely American phenomenon of mass murder at schools, complete with television coverage, like the television coverage you're seeing tonight, began. All of that began in Texas in 1966, when Charles Whitman, a name that became one of the most famous names of the 1960s, went to the top of the Texas Tower, the University of Texas in Austin. Before going to the tower, like many of the mass murderers who followed in his footsteps, Charles Whitman shot and killed his wife, shot and killed his mother.
It's always so hard to find out the motive here, Mr.
By one count, the U.S. has topped 300 school shootings since 2009, 57 times as many as all of the other major industrialized nations combined.
In 2020, the most recent CDC data shows that there were more than 19,000 gun-related homicides. Due to the math, that's an average of 53 a day. There have been 213 mass shootings so far this year alone. It's only May.
So doing the math on that, there's a mass shooting in this country about 1.5 a day.
When are we going to do something?
Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr last night channeling the outrage of a nation.
I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there.
You know, I think back to Columbine. I was just a teenager then, but it all felt so unbelievable. How tragic is it that this now feels so common?
At some point, a fight even broke out between some people at the scene, and police had to step in. Then there's the window at the McDonald's where the shooting happened. Again, as I mentioned, it is shattered. Just a really busy and active scene. According to Chicago police, this shooting happened just after 10:40 last night. Again, 10 people were shot.
Online, there are lots of opinions from both sides of the gun control debate about money, politics, and freedom. But journalist Philip DeFranco also wrapped up one of the other common themes, helplessness. He tweeted, "The uniquely American feeling, seeing news about a mass shooting of kids and knowing literally nothing is going to change to stop it from happening again, is the one I hate the most."
You really believe like he was sitting there reading a law book beforehand? And I know what you're going to say. Well, maybe we should make it more difficult to do that. But the problem with that is it's a simple-minded solution, because you also make it more difficult for the tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of others of 18-year-olds out there who've done absolutely nothing wrong and would like to buy a rifle
to
go hunting.
So what?
What?
So what?
Come on,
we live in a free country. You're 18 years old. Can you buy a beer? Answer no. Why can't you buy a beer? Because society, in its infinite wisdom, has determined that you're
not answering my point.
An 18-year-old to buy a beer.
My question remains:
how can you be too young to buy a beer?
Why do you believe people that have no conscience, no heart, and no soul? Parents lost their kids today. Why do you believe
make
the
it
people,
hard
hang
for
on.
Them, Sean.
Why do you make why do you believe in any way that those people that are capable of that evil are going to obey your laws? Because I think you're living in a fantasy world.
Maybe I am. But the NRA convention is in Houston on Friday. You have President Trump, you have Governor Abbott, you have Senator Cruz all scheduled to speak. Don't you think that they should try to suggest some remedy, some be proactive? But what are they going to do? Second Amendment. The way the Second Amendment is construed now makes me sick. How did muskets become AKs?
Hold on. All right, I know, Geraldo, you've dominated this whole conversation. You're not letting anyone else talk here, Geraldo. You know, for the last 30 years of your life, you've been a very wealthy, successful guy. Nobody disputes that. You could go out tomorrow and buy security if you wanted to. The Second Amendment makes you sick. Why? So people, the criminals don't care about your gun laws. They love them because it keeps law-abiding people unarmed while they don't give a damn about your laws. I did this for a living. They laugh at gun laws, and they love people like you advocating for gun laws, because you can buy arm protection and they can go in high crime communities and prey on innocent people who can never get a hold of a gun. Actually obey the law.
Greg Schaefer, FBI veteran of 20 years, an expert on active shooter situations. Thanks for joining us. Absolutely horrific scenes this morning. How has this happened again?
If I had the answer to that, I'd solve a lot of the world's problems. We have to get better at a couple things. First of all, and foremost, we need to put armed police officers in every school in America. No questions asked. Every school in America needs to have an armed response, an armed police officer.
If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door.
So there you have. Well, that last section was Paul Harvey with his famous monologue, If I Were the Devil. And so much of what he said in that monologue from 1965 has come true in spades in 2022. But you just heard a random mashup of sound bites and audio headlines from just the last 72 hours. Now, in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, James 4, 1 through 5, it gives us a great insight into where fightings, killings, and wars come from. And this is not something that is dispensational for the tribulation only. James 4, 1 through 5 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Those verses, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, in your King James Bible, they apply to every dispensation. James is showing you a spiritual principle here. And America has become a nation that is lifted up to a very, very high degree with its own pride. So much so that we become the great and powerful Oz. And we don't need God. And so God says, if you don't need me, then that's fine. You can tend to your own affairs. And you can protect your own schools. And you can watch over your own children. And that's exactly what we see happening in America today. So is it possible, we're talking about the Greek word pharmakia, Turn to Revelation chapter 9. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. Let's take a quick look at pharmakia in the context. Revelation 9:20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Verse 21 says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. This is obviously talking about people during the time of the Great Tribulation. Idol worship is going to be the religion of the one world religion, if that makes sense. And Revelation 9:20 shows you that during this time period, they're going to be openly worshiping idols of gold and silver and brass and stone. You know the whole reason why God allowed Israel to be taken over by Babylon? And why God is going to put Israel through the time of Jacob's trouble? It's because Israel has turned its back on God. And then God is going to fight against the nation of Israel during the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, doesn't that sound like an amazing thing? But that's exactly what it says in the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, turn to Jeremiah 21. Jeremiah 21, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of this city. And look at Jeremiah 21:5, and I will fight, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand, and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. That is God talking to the king of Judah through the prophet Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 21:5, God says to Israel, I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm. And this is why Israel goes through the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, what does that have to do with school shootings in America? It has everything to do with school shootings in America. America is a nation that was uniquely blessed by God. And then we took the benefits, we took the blessing. He made us the richest nation on earth. He made us the most powerful nation on earth. He made us the most feared nation on earth. And what is happening to America in 2022? It is crumbling at a rate that is so rapid that it boggles the mind to try to understand how swift the fall of America is at this present moment. We have a president who can't string together three sentences coherently. Somebody is running the United States, and it's not Joe Biden. I submit to you, as I have for many, many months now, that it's the New World Order. And one of the things that America has an overabundance of is hardcore drugs. Now, that word, pharmakia, let's look at that word for a second from Revelation 9:21. Neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries. In your Strong's Concordance, it's G5331. It's a Greek word, pharmakia. It means sorcery, magical arts, idolatry, magic connected with idolatry, to poison somebody. And it means the use of or the administering of drugs. So, when you have a nation like America that for the past 50 or 60 years has had an unbelievable amount of recreational drugs, and then you add to that the prescription drugs that are given to these school kids, don't you think, I mean, use your brain for a second. I remember what high school was like for me back in the late 1970s. I graduated high school in 1979 from DePaul Catholic High School in Wayne, New Jersey. And I told you at the start of this broadcast that drug use in my private Catholic high school was off the charts. You could go into the men's room, the boys' room, at any hour of the school day, including 8 o'clock in the morning, you could get any type of drug that you wanted to get. And I can only imagine that since the late 1970s, it has only gotten worse probably by about a factor of 10 or 20 or maybe even 100. But can you begin to imagine what happens to the high school student who is prescribed an SSRI drug, serotonin reuptake inhibitor drug? Can you imagine what happens to a student who's on Ritalin and they take amphetamines? Or a student who has been prescribed Prozac or Paxil and they smoke pot or drink alcohol? Can you imagine what that is doing to the mind and the spirit and the soul of a teenage boy or girl? So a couple of years ago, a news program asked the question, are psychiatric drugs partly to blame for school shootings? So I want you to take a listen to this clip, mainstream media clip from 2018, asking, are psychiatric drugs partly to blame for school shootings? Let's see what the experts have to say.
Now in the aftermath of finding blame for that shooting and the epidemic of others, one common allegation is emerging.
Is the abundance of psychiatric meds being prescribed to young men to blame for these shootings? Team 12's Joe Dana verifies whether there's any evidence to back up that claim, Joe.
An attorney for the alleged shooter says he was not on any prescription meds. But, you know, that hasn't stopped speculation online and by one very prominent member of the gun lobby from saying that our culture is drugging kids and that it's to blame for this epidemic of mass shootings.
The incoming president of the National Rifle Association, Oliver North, calls the scourge of gun violence on campuses a disease.
And the disease in this case isn't the Second Amendment. The disease is youngsters who are steeped in a culture of violence. They've been drugged in many cases. Nearly all of these perpetrators are male. If you look at what has happened to the young people, many of these young boys have been on Ritalin since they were in kindergarten.
A host of bloggers also promote the claim that psychiatric drugs are fueling the behavior of many or most school shooters. So are they right? A leading expert on school shootings who has written two books on the subject and who educates countless organizations, including the FBI, says there's no known cause-effect link.
There's a lot of misinformation out there. I've not seen any convincing evidence that any of the attacks could be attributed to psychiatric medications.
All right, so we'll stop that clip right there. That was from 4 years ago. That's back when Ollie North was the president of the NRA. And there you have the expert, the medical psychiatric expert, saying that they did not see any evidence that drugs like Paxil and Ritalin and Prozac could possibly be contributing to school shootings. But now I want you to listen to another doctor, Dr. Stuart Shipko. And he's a psychiatrist. And for a number of years back in the early 1990s, Dr. Shipko ran a clinic for people who suffered from extreme anxiety disorders and panic attacks. So I want you to listen to what Dr. Shipko has to say about the horrific side effects of these antidepressant drugs. He's not going to talk about school shootings. He's just going to simply talk about what happens in a large percentage of the teenagers who are given these drugs for a long period of time. Take a listen to Dr. Stuart Shipko. A psychiatrist explores the terrible side effects of antidepressants. Take a listen to this.
We were at Good Samaritan Hospital downtown, and we had a loose affiliation among different specialists for something we called the Panic Disorders Institute. And this was where people don't get really good physical exams for their panic disorder. It's usually just, I'm having panic attacks, and the physical part is ignored. The thyroid, the heart, other endocrine conditions. So we had a first-class place. So you're talking about the early, mid-90s, before the internet was big news. And I was flooded with patients having the worst panic attacks of their lives after they'd been prescribed Prozac or Paxil or Zoloft, drugs that were indicated for panic disorder from the FDA. And their doctors were saying to them, that can't happen. Well, I posted that on my website. Because there were so few anxiety websites, I had quite an audience. And I posted that, and what happened was amazing. People were having all kinds of reactions to SSRI antidepressants. And they went to their doctors, and the doctor would say, that can't happen. There's no side effects. This doesn't exist. I was flooded, not just with people having panic attacks from the SSRIs.
So I'm going to stop Dr. Shipko right there. Did you hear what he just said? He said that in his practice, he began to see people having horrific side effects when they took these antidepressant drugs. And yet when he went to the experts, just like from that news clip that I played for you, when he went to the experts, they said, no, you're wrong. That can't be happening. That is not in our listed bunch of side effects. And yet, it was happening. And I have known many, many people who have done very badly on antidepressant drugs. They are very, very dangerous. But the real danger with antidepressant drugs is when you put them in combinations with other things. And when I worked as a school teacher in that school with the kids with the ADD and the ADHD, I began to see that they were combining Ritalin with Prozac and Ritalin with Paxil. Now, can you imagine in a high school where you have a kid taking Ritalin, Paxil, and then he's doing recreational drugs in the bathroom? He's smoking pot, he's getting high, he's taking meth, he's doing coke. Maybe he's washing it down with some Jack Daniels. Hey, if you're a parent and you have high school age kids, why don't you pull your head out of the sand? And why don't you realize that whatever high school, and I'm talking to Christian parents right now, I want you to realize that even if you send your children to private Christian schools, those schools have just as much drugs as any other school. And if you don't think that's true, you are deluded and you are deceived. If you are a parent of a high school teenager That teenager is exposed to drugs every minute that they go to school, regardless of whatever school that they go to. My parents had no idea the type of drugs that I was exposed to when I went to high school back in the 1970s. Most parents today, they don't want to know. But if you have a high school teenager, that teenager is exposed to hardcore drugs every single minute that they're on the bus, that they're in the bathrooms, in the sports teams, at the homecoming football games. The amount of drugs that is in the average American high school is off the charts. But parents don't want to deal with it. They don't want to know. Jenny says homeschool. That's right. That's the answer. Homeschool is absolutely the answer. There's no question about it.
People with every conceivable type of side effect. They were coming to me. They were coming here from all over the country. And I would tell them, I don't know anything about antidepressant side effects. But the reason they were showing up was they couldn't even get a doctor to sit and listen to them. And that was the beginning of it. Then I became a clearinghouse for more and more of these side effects.
So can you talk about that? I mean, did you start prescribing Prozac on your practice?
Well, I didn't prescribe it right away. I'm really old school about medicines. I don't prescribe anything the first year it comes on the market. A lot of times things come on the market and then the next year they're not there because they found something really wrong with it. So in the meantime, the people that showed up to my office had been prescribed it from somewhere else. Well, the next thing I noticed was that you couldn't stop it. And so these people would come in on SSRIs, Prozac was the first one, and when it came time to take them off the drug, they wouldn't go off it. They'd already tried, and that's when I realized that there's a very profound withdrawal from these drugs. And then, you know, there's something else happened later down the road when I prescribed it was Paxil to a patient, and then I was just giving him samples and he couldn't afford it. When the samples ran out, within 3 or 4 days, he attempted suicide. And boy, there was nothing about this guy that was suicidal. You know, he was unhappy, but it wasn't much. And it made me curious about the drug then. Now I realize it's a typical withdrawal suicide. It's pretty common.
So here you had Dr. Stuart Shipko talking about putting a patient on Paxil, and when that patient couldn't get another dose for 72 hours, just 3 days, his patient tried to commit suicide, and the doctor said he was not a suicidal person. So we look at these teenage gunmen, and they all have the same characteristic. I'm not saying that they're all on Paxil and Ritalin and Prozac, but they have one thing in common. They are completely detached from the act of what they're doing. They are able to go into their own school and just take out a gun and just start opening fire on their classmates, on their teachers, on the volunteers, on somebody's mother. And there is absolutely no fear in their eyes. Now, if you've spent any time at all reading your King James Bible, you recognize that right away as a demonic spirit. What else could lead a teenager to open fire on their own classmates? Now, you might say, okay, that person was tired of being picked on. That person was different. That person was a goth. that person was gay and they were abused by their classmates. That's not the type of thing that makes somebody go out and get a rifle and then start blowing people's heads apart like you're shooting a pumpkin and then looking at that with an expressionless, detached, cold, calculating. You can't explain that simply because people were picked on. When I was in high school, I was picked on when I was a freshman. And I knew other people that were picked on when they were freshmen. That does not lead somebody to become a mass shooter or a mass killer. There is something else at work. Now, let's talk about what that something else might be. In World War II, Adolf Hitler preached the Aryan society. And Adolf Hitler believed that the Nazis were the Aryan race and that they were the perfect race. And Adolf Hitler wanted to create a perfect Europe populated by perfect people. But the truth was that Adolf Hitler was a degenerate. He had sex with his niece, which drove her to commit suicide. Adolf Hitler was a prescription drug addict. He was injected with a combination of drugs and vitamins every single day between 1936 and 1945. And Adolf Hitler, he received his power from those drugs. Now remember, the show that we're doing today is called Pharmakia. Pharmakia is the Greek word for magic, black arts, idolatry, prescription drugs, medication, sorcery. And Adolf Hitler received his power from hardcore drugs. Now, one of the drugs that Adolf Hitler ordered that every single soldier take was a drug called Pervitin. I don't know what it means in German, but Pervitin to me, perverted, pervert, Pervitin. That is a perfect name for that drug, and it was a real drug. So I want you to listen to this clip about the Nazi troops and Pervitin. Take a listen to this.
He was supposed to be the supreme leader of a master race, a paragon of physical and mental health, to lead Germany to a glorious future. But behind the Führer facade was an unstable pill popper, dependent on a dubious daily diet of injections, tablets, and tonics. At the center of it all, the Führer's infamous personal physician, Dr. Theodor Morell.
Morell occasionally prescribed amphetamines for Hitler when he thought he was being too lethargic or not energetic enough.
Hitler wasn't the only one blitzed during the Blitzkrieg. Pervitin was a methamphetamine delivering an explosive high.
It was given to the German troops who invaded France through the narrow valleys of the Ardennes, driving their tanks through in long lines over 3 or 4 days to keep the tank drivers awake. They called it Panzerschokolade or tank chocolate. It was also known as Stuka tablets from the dive bombers given to the pilots.
The war had only just begun when millions of the high-octane amphetamine pills were sent to the front lines in Poland. Fired up with Pervitin, the German army seemed unstoppable.
So, where did the source of Adolf Hitler's Blitzkrieg power come from? It came from Pharmakia. It came from high-octane, high-intensity, hardcore drug use. Do you know that when the Nazis would do a tank battle, the people that they were fighting against were shocked at the speed at which the Nazis could come at you, and they didn't seem to need to sleep. They didn't seem to need to take a break. They didn't seem to need to rest. And they would come at you 1, 2, 3, 4 days in a row without stopping. Czechoslovakia, Poland, France, almost Europe. Nobody seemed to have an answer for the power behind the Nazi army. But if you have a King James Bible, you know the power behind Nazi Germany. It is pharmakia. The Greek word in the King James Bible used for sorcery is also the same word that we get for pharmacy and prescription drugs. So why am I talking about World War II? Why am I talking about Nazi Germany? Because what I'm trying to show you is, for the last 50, 60, 70 years, there is a spirit that has been arising, not just in America, but in Europe, in Asia, and the Middle East, in Africa, North America, South America. And this pharmakia is behind what's happening with these school shootings. Take a listen to this about pharmakia and the Nazi blitzkrieg.
10th of May 1940. The Nazis' attack on the West becomes a reality. This is the dawn of blitzkrieg, Germany's lightning storm. Tanks, aeroplanes, and men attack as one concentrated force, moving at high speed day and night. In the space of only 10 days, they carve through the combined forces of Holland, Belgium, Britain, the world's largest army in France.
When the Blitzkrieg happened, it just seems so fantastical, so impossible. But what the Germans have worked out is that if they could knock their enemy, France, off balance quickly enough, then they had a chance of knocking them out entirely.
Blitzkrieg succeeded because it didn't pause for breath. German tanks were fast, powerful, and they never stopped. That relentless advance was driven by the inhuman feats of the Nazi soldiers. They covered 100 miles a day as they pushed the front line forward without sleep or rest.
Nazi soldiers in World War II were able to cover 100 miles of ground on a daily basis. No other military on the face of the earth had ever faced an opposing force that could move its men and its tanks 100 miles in a single day back in the 1930s. And this is why everybody thought that Adolf Hitler and the Nazis were going to take over all of Europe. Because there was no answer of how to solve the question of how do you stop the Nazis. But after a while, you want to know what happened? After a while, the Nazis began to implode. And that consistent drug use, the Pervitin, and they began to take more and more of it. And it went from something that gave them nearly superhuman strength to something that turned them into an inhuman species. And in the last half of World War II, I have read account after account of the unbelievable atrocities And I'm not talking just in the concentration camps. I'm talking about the soldiers on the battlefield. And I have read dozens of accounts of soldiers in the last half of the war, after 2, 3, 4 years of taking Pervitin every single day, sometimes twice a day. And after a while, it went from giving them great strength to taking away their strength. It went from giving them great clarity to giving them confusion and agitation. And then what began to happen is the Nazi soldiers began to do horrific atrocities far above what was called for on the battlefield. And then the true extent of what those drugs had done to their soul and their spirits and their minds began to be seen. And this is why when we talk about Adolf Hitler, we talk about him as the most evil person that has ever existed. And I believe that until Antichrist comes, Adolf Hitler was perhaps the most evil person to ever walk the face of the earth. But you know that Adolf Hitler was a type of Antichrist. We wrote an article showing you that Adolf Hitler fit the bill for Antichrist in 7 different ways. Adolf Hitler said that his Reich was going to last. Reich is the German word for reign. And Adolf Hitler said that his Third Reich was going to last for 1,000 years. The Bible says that Jesus Christ will rule Jerusalem for 1,000 years. When Adolf Hitler burst upon the scene in 1933, he was a speaker with a fierce countenance. And the Bible says about Antichrist in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 and 24, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power." Adolf Hitler, he was mighty, but he was mighty through pharmakia. He was not mighty through his own power. And the Bible says, "And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty." And the holy people, that's the Jewish people. Isn't that who Adolf Hitler destroyed? The Bible says in Daniel 11:45, "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." That's exactly how Adolf Hitler died on April 30th, 1945. He killed his wife, he killed himself, and he died a coward's death in the bunker. Now, I used to think a number of years ago, could it have been possible that Adolf Hitler got away to Argentina? But when I look at the story of Adolf Hitler committing suicide in his bunker alone in 1945, that perfectly fits Daniel 11:45, talking about the Antichrist. So Adolf Hitler, in 7 particulars, was a perfect type of the biblical Antichrist, but he was not the Antichrist. He was a type of the Antichrist that was to come, that is to come. In 1920, they gave Adolf Hitler an ID card. And at that point, Adolf Hitler was not the leader of the National Socialist Workers' Party. He was just a member sent there by the government to spy on them. And you want to know what number his ID card was in 1920? It was 555. In the Bible, 5 is the number of death and 5 is the number of judgment. And 555 is the last type of Antichrist before the actual Antichrist, who is going to be 666. And so when you look at Adolf Hitler and you look at the Nazis and you realize that they were powered by pharmakia, you realize it's something that's spiritual more than it's political.
It was not possible to drive to France in 3 days with your tanks at these times with these machines. Drivers drive 2 days without sleeping.
How could the Germans possibly have got to Sedan and across the Meuse in just 4 days? That just broke all the rules of warfare.
The German Wehrmacht's incredible performance wasn't restricted to their ground forces. On the beaches of Dunkirk in France, British soldiers were strafed by the Stuka dive bomber. The aeroplane's screaming vertical attack used terrifying new Nazi technology. But in reconnaissance memos, it wasn't the aeroplane that amazed Allied engineers. It was the pilot's ability to resist blacking out under the vertical G-forces. The Führer seemed to have a German army capable of the impossible. Within only a month, Hitler was taking in the sights of the French capital, and defenseless Parisians were forced onto the streets to witness their conqueror. To the Nazis, the victory was proof of German racial superiority.
The Nazis set themselves up as being this sort of phenomenal, huge machine of highly trained, highly motivated troops with all the best kit, and that they keep going longer than their enemies. It's all part of that.
But their exceptional performance made Allied intelligence highly suspicious. Even the Aryan myth of superior breeding couldn't explain the physical ability to fight for days without sleep. Confidential military communiques reveal the Allies suspected the Nazis were using something to supercharge their troops, but they had no idea what it was. The fear was that the Germans had developed a powerful performance-enhancing chemical for their men.
Throughout the 1930s, pharmacology had been developing at an incredibly fast rate. We had drugs that could make people stay awake and work when they should rightly be asleep. We had drugs that could make people relax and reveal hidden truths. The whole concept was that drugs can change people. And with the hot breath of war breathing down people's necks, it was as though we had a chemical key to making troops do things that they couldn't normally do. It was almost like a chemical unlocking of superhuman abilities.
Do you hear what they just said? We developed drugs that made people do things that they could not normally do. It was like the unlocking of superhuman abilities. I want you to think about that. And I'm not talking about recreational drugs, I'm talking about prescription drugs. You should be just as afraid of drugs from your doctor as you are drugs from the street.
Though Allied intelligence couldn't prove their drugs theory, rumors still reached British newspapers. The tabloids' imaginations ran riot with terrifying stories of chemically enhanced Nazi super soldiers.
There was a rumor that the Nazis were importing 50 tons of frozen beef adrenal glands in a giant submarine from Argentina to convert into this super drug.
By July 1940, the skies of Britain were swarming with German fighter planes. And it was during the aerial battle of Britain that a crucial breakthrough literally fell from the sky. downed Luftwaffe pilot was captured on England's south coast. The pilot was carrying an extensive survival pack, an example of which is held at the German Pharmacy Museum.
So here we have Ducodal, a morphine preparate. There is Novocaine, a sedativum. Further, there are typical tablet packages, mercury tablets used to disinfect.
As the British intelligence officers searched the pilot's pack, they found something they didn't recognize. A roll of tablets wrapped in gold foil. On it, instructions warn of the drug's extreme psychological and stimulating effects, and say it must be used with caution.
They were told how to take it, Gebrauchsanweisung, the order to use. You take one or two tablets in the maximum.
Could this be the mystery drug that was powering the Nazis' Wehrmacht? The Allied intelligence team ordered urgent forensic tests.
Elite scientists were willing to believe that the Nazi war machine had done all kinds of secret research that had put them years ahead of the Allies. And so they felt they had to play a lot of catch-up research to beat the Nazis at their own game.
When the results came back from testing, they revealed that the pill carried by the Nazi airmen was a synthetic chemical compound unfamiliar to British scientists. Today, it is known as the powerful illegal stimulant, crystal meth.
You can't understand the blitzkrieg if you don't see the pharmaceutical underlying of it. They use drugs to come quicker to the front, to perform harder, to shoot longer. It was the first war where a whole military used drugs.
It was the first war where the entire military used drugs. So crystal meth, synthetic crystal meth, was created by Nazi scientists. Adolf Hitler was a type of Antichrist. Before this time period, you did not have overt, widespread, hardcore drug use. But after this time period, with each passing decade, these drugs found their ways into the hands of the drug dealers. Crystal meth is a blight on America. And if you go to places like the Appalachian Mountains, you go to West Virginia, you go up to Maine, right below Canada, and what do you see? You see town after town that is ripped apart by the very same drug that the Nazis created, Pervitin, to attempt to win World War II. Now, when you start to put all these things together and you begin to understand what these drugs really are and where they actually come from, now do you begin to see where school shootings come from, and why the school shooters always, in every single case, the shooter is detached, expressionless, emotionless, and the only expression that they're able to produce is laughter as they're killing people. That is about as close to demon possession as you're ever going to see outside of the time of Jacob's trouble. And where does this come from? It comes from drug use. Whether it is recreational drugs that are purchased in the school bathroom, pharmaceutical drugs that are prescribed by the doctor, Paxil, Ritalin, Prozac, or in a worst case scenario, the combination of recreational and prescription drugs. This is where your school shootings are coming from. Because it's not just the fact that people are being shot. It is the way that they're being shot. It is the coldness and the deadness of the spirit and the soul of the person who's doing the shooting. That is not simply just committing a murder. That is showing you that that person has already been taken over by a different type of spirit. You know, King Saul went to the witch at Endor, and he asked her to bring up a familiar spirit of the prophet. Well, he got half of what he asked for. He got a familiar spirit, but he didn't get the prophet. And these drugs, this pharmakia culture that we live in, why do you think that they want to inject you with these vaccines? These vaccines that cause so much damage and devastation and giving people heart attacks and strokes and blood clots. Hundreds of athletes just dropping dead. We live in a world that is obsessed with pharmakia. On a recreational level, on a scientific level, on an experimental level, on a prescription level. And when you look at World War II, when you look at Adolf Hitler, Adolf Hitler needed pharmakia to wage war against the countries that he attacked. The Nazis needed pharmakia to get into the mental state where they could put Jewish people, men, women, and children, into gas chambers and ovens and shoot them down like dogs and say that they were subhuman parasites. How do you... That is not just simply committing a murder. There is a spirit that is attached to that. How do you get to that point? Only one way to get to that point. You got to have pharmakia. And when you have pharmakia, pharmakia is drugs combined with sorcery. And when you put those two things together, it affects your mind, it affects your body, and it affects your soul. So, when I see people arguing about gun control, it is a laughable argument. And I'm not talking about the religious right. I'm not talking about the NRA. I'm not talking about the Second Amendment or the Constitution or anything like that. It is laughable that you can watch these teenagers with no expression, with a cold, dead look on their face, take out a gun and blow away their teacher, blow away somebody's mother, cut down their fellow classmates, and have no reaction of any kind. That's a spirit. That has nothing to do with guns. That has nothing to do with anything other than a spirit that has combined with drugs. And then it turns you into a demon. It takes control of your mind. It takes control of your body. Have you ever seen people who are crystal meth addicts? And the holes they have on their face? And they just look like they have been beaten and kicked around and dragged through the mud. Well, that's what it does to their body. That's the part that you can see. The part that you can't see is what it does to their spirit and what it does to their soul. And this is where these people come from. And this is exactly why they want the debate to be about guns and the Second Amendment, which to me is laughable. Because the problem has nothing to do with guns or the Second Amendment. It has to do with pharmakia. It has to do with a spirit. And this is why they are pushing drugs constantly. You know, we did this article, and I don't know if I can pull it up right now, but it was somebody who had taken the vaccine when it first came out, and they felt like God had left them, like God was dead. I can't find the article. But the point of what I'm saying is, when you mess around with drugs, whether they're recreational drugs, whether they're prescription drugs, remember, prescription drugs are every bit as deadly as recreational drugs. Doctors prescribe these things. They combine them. Have you ever met somebody that's taking 6 or 7 different medications? High blood pressure, kidney problems, heart problems, diabetes, ADD. Has anybody ever sat down to think about what would be the combined side effects of taking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different drugs on a daily basis? No, they don't think about it. And yet we have a nation that is virtually a nation of drug addicts. So when you look at these school shooters, just remember the problem is, it's not the guns. The problem is pharmakia. The problem is drugs combined with a spirit, with sorcery. And that's what gives you the school shooter. So let's take a moment and let's pray for the families in Texas. And let's pray that God would send in Christians with the gospel and would comfort the hearts of the people who lost loved ones. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, and we praise you. Jane says, please pray for my son Troy that he will get saved. Kisabel says, please add my husband Robert to the prayer list for an upcoming surgery next week for a large pituitary tumor that has to come out. The surgery is on June 2nd. Amen. Lord, we pray today for the families, any family, any person that lost a loved one, including the family of the shooter. And we pray, Lord, that you would send in Christians with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you would give them a healing word, and that you would help them, Father God, to understand this tragedy and would be comforted by you through this tragedy and through their loss and their pain. And God, we just pray that you would use this for your glory somehow. I don't know how you would do that, but you do, God. That you would work this out for your glory and for their good. And Father God, comfort them and to help them. The parents who lost children, the brothers, and the children who lost siblings, the students who lost teachers, and the teachers that lost students, and the parents that lost children, the children that lost parents. And Lord, just work and move as only you can and help them, Lord. Help them to make sense of it. And we pray that souls would be saved even in the midst of this tragedy. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep me in your prayers this weekend, please. I'm traveling to Suncoast Baptist Church. I'm going to be meeting with Pastor Joel, and we're going to be talking about the church that we're planting here in St. Augustine. So please, please, please keep me in your prayers as I travel this weekend. So no Sunday service, no Bible study on Sunday. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Monday. for a Prophecy News podcast at noon Eastern time. And listen, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's the start of the summer here in America. And wherever you go, whatever you do, make sure you take some gospel tracks with you. Make sure that as you're enjoying this weekend with your friends and your family, that you remember about the lost loved ones that God puts in your path. And as you remember to pack your sunscreen and the beach ball and the frisbee and the towels and the cooler filled with sandwiches and soft drinks, would you please remember to put some gospel tracks in there as well? And remember to be a witness wherever you go, even while on vacation. Be a witness, please. Have a great, safe weekend, everybody, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here Monday at noon Eastern time for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. My arms all cry, singing wild on earth, thou art calling. Oh, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy, would you let throne of earth, find a sweet relief. Would you find relief? Healing there in deep contrition, healing there in deep contrition. Would you help? Let my heart believe. We're calling you, say, oh, say, oh, hear my humble, one more time, we're calling you, say.